One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Hi, it's Tony.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Brisky from Real Ghost Stories Online, inviting you to subscribe to our other podcast called The Grave Talks. It's where I sit down and interview individuals who've had extreme paranormal situations happen to them in their lives. Just search The Grave Talks on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you download podcasts. Be sure to press subscribe and give us some stars to help spread the word that this show exists. Now, here's a 15-minute preview of The Grave Talks. Today on The Grave Talks, the haunted Summerwind Mansion. The mere mention of the name Summerwind Mansion is instantly connected to the word haunted when discussed in the state of Wisconsin. The haunted Summerwind Mansion has a story spanning more than a century. Its story runs deep through many families, rumors of insanity, demonic activity, and ghosts. The haunted Summerwind Mansion is infamous, not so much for who lived there, but why they couldn't live there. Many have been drawn to the property for unexplained reasons or forces. To date, almost all of its residents who attempted to occupy the fabled structure have found themselves also compelled or forced to leave with just as much drive. Why does the haunted Summerwind Mansion have such powers? This is a question hundreds have been asking since it was built more than 100 years ago. In the 1980s, a fire broke out at the now vacant Summerwind Mansion. The result was a foundation and chimney structure still intact, surrounded by charred remains of the wooden home. The official story was that lightning struck the building. Others question if it was more sinister than this. Since the physical building has become a ruin, hundreds of paranormal investigators have visited the site, many telling stories of being drawn back time and time again by an unknown force. Several have even tried to raise funds to rebuild the Summerwind. What evidence has been found and collected at the site of the mansion? We discussed this with paranormal investigator Chad Lewis in our interview. We discussed the strong feelings that many have had about the Summerwind over a century, and the ghosts and spirits that may still infest the Summerwind Mansion. Chad, how did it all start for the Summerwind?
Well, Summerwind Mansion, which sits way up north on the border of Wisconsin and the UP, the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, sits on a beautiful area of land at West Bay Lake. And it has long history. Of course, the native peoples were up there, and then some explorers and French explorers came in the 1700s. And the home itself dates back to the late 1800s, early 1900s. And James Frank was the first owner of a property on the lake, and they used it as a resort or a luxury retreat. And that was very common during those days for wealthy people, especially, to have cabins and resorts up in the north woods of Wisconsin.
Now, when people started going to this resort, what was life like at the resort when it was a functioning place? Paint that picture for us.
Well, by the time 1916 rolled around, Robert Lamont bought the place and spent... There's a lot of speculation that he had the original building torn down. Some say he just added to it. But he spent upwards of $125,000 constructing Summerwind, as it's now known. In today's money, that would be close to $2.5 million. So when people could rent a room out there, you can imagine the amount of luxury that was there. This wasn't a Northwoods retreat where you were roughing it on the edges. This really was a home away from home. So people went up there for the healing powers of the Northwoods, cool temperatures, the fresh air, and they got away from, you know, the southern heat. In the beginning, it was mostly regional people, the types that would just look for a little vacation in their neck of the woods. And in the mid-1900s, that's when the wealthy started coming up and visiting their friends and family. And they, of course, had a ton of maids and servants that would be working at the establishment as well. And that's where some of the first legends of Summerwind began, with some of the maids and servants telling stories of something not quite being right in this home, as though something was off. They didn't feel they should be there. There was a sinister force behind this home. And of course, none of them made too much of a fuss about it because it might mean the loss of their employment. So they continued going along with it.
So you're saying early on in its existence, when people were actively going there, there was something that people knew. The legend began back then while it was an active resort.
Yes, that's when the legends first began. There's speculation that the land itself was thought to have been a cursed area long before that, but we have no historical record of that. Again, it's all speculation. But when it was starting to become very popular in the 1930s as the Prairie Moon Lodge, that's when a lot of people started reporting that ghostly activity and things out of the norm just weren't making sense at the resort.
Let's talk about the rumors and the hearsay of it being a cursed area before we jump into some of those experiences that were occurring in the 1930s. What were some of the things that people were saying about it being a cursed area?
Well, back in the 1700s, Jonathan Carver explored the area in the late 1770s, and it was said that he had some disputes with the native tribes that were in the area, specifically the Sioux tribe. And it was said that he had bought some deed from them of the land, and there was a quarrel and all kinds of misunderstandings there that put bad blood on the location. And one of the theories today is that it's Mr. Carver that is haunting the place, still upset that he cannot find his deed, or he lost the deed, or he was swindled out of the land. Variations of that. So that's where the legend really began, that there was something in its origin that set it apart from every other place in the area.
How far is it away from other structures? Is it kind of off by itself, or is it in a resort-ish area when you think of, you know, properties not too far from each other?
Well, back in the day, it had a lot more land to it. It was a sprawling estate with a lot of acres, and year by year, as every owner took over the place and tried to restore it and renovate it, they would often end up selling off parcels of land in order to keep the main structure going. As you can imagine, it was a lot of upkeep and repair, especially in this area of Wisconsin when the weather is brutal. The weather takes a toll on your structures that if you're not upkeeping them every year, you know, it doesn't take long for them to almost be falling over.
Sure, with the harsh winters and loads of snow on top of buildings. That's something that a lot of folks who are not from the area don't even think about, just how brutal it can be on a building that's not constantly kept up. Let's go back to the 1930s and some of the first ghostly experiences that people were having at Summerwind. What were some of the things that people were saying and talking about?
Well, the Vermonts were still there, and they were disbelievers. They didn't believe that any of the servants or the maids were actually having troubles. You know, they thought it was nothing more than superstitious hired help that, you know, were prone to exaggeration. But it wasn't until, the legend is, they were having dinner one night and they saw a spirit walk into the dining room where the father grabbed a pistol, allegedly, and shot twice at this spirit before it disappeared, leaving two big bullet holes in the doors. Now, what's interesting is years later, after it had been abandoned for a long time, a colleague of mine, Todd Rowe, was up there and took an infamous photo of one of the doors that did show two bullet holes in it. But the next time he went back there, the door was missing. So no analysis could be done to find out when those bullets were shot in there and what type of weapon it was used. So we don't know. Maybe they were shot in there years later. But the legend is that he was so terrified of the place and of the spirit that he blasted at it with his firearm, and the family soon moved out and left the place not long after that encounter.
What was causing it to him to have such fear and terror of it? Was it just the fact that it was a ghost, which would be a logical explanation in itself, but was there more to it? Was there torment going on? Was the spirit doing anything to him or his family?
Well, legend is that the family was slowly being psychologically changed, that almost as though the home had a sinister effect on people, that it would cause depression and anger outbursts and unexplained bouts of anger and hostility. And I think they may have been picking up on some of that as time wore on, because eventually they removed themselves from the home. Although they didn't sell it right away, they left it there for over a decade. They simply did not ever return to it. Now, if you spent $2.5 million on a vacation home and you're not using it, you would think you would sell it to get rid of it rather than just let it go down the drain year after year. But that's exactly what happened. And a lot of researchers have to question why. Because at the same time, there's this feeling that you shouldn't be there, like you're not wanted, and there's some type of uneasiness or evil there. On the flip side, people have this uncanny sense of being drawn to the area and to Summerwind. They can't explain it. They don't know why, but something draws them. Something urges them to go there, like they're meant to be there. So on flip side, you have this house that at one point is scurrying everyone out of it, and on the other point, it's attracting people. It's very odd.
When it was abandoned after they had left and it sat there for that decade, did anyone visit it? Did anyone maintain it? What was its reputation then? What was it, obviously its state of just sitting there, but tell me the story of that 10-year span.
It soon got a reputation as being an abandoned, haunted place. And I don't know if they had a caretaker there just for minimal maintenance or if it was completely abandoned, but there are tales of neighborhood children exploring the area as kids in the house, and their parents always told them that that was off limits. And again, it could be because they heard the haunted stories or they just didn't want them walking around in an old, decrepit building. It was unsafe. But there were stories brewing at that time of young kids exploring the abandoned, alleged haunted house, much like kids do today.
Did they leave it with their, did they leave with their possessions, or was the house still sitting there with a lot of their things in it?
Apparently, there was a lot of fine art, a lot of very expensive furniture and other possessions that were simply left there. There were kids that recalled touring the place and just being amazed at how expensive stuff looked inside. And during this time, there were several offers on the land, but they simply wouldn't sell it. They held it till Mr. Lamont actually died in 1948, and then it was finally sold to another family. But until then, it was just simply left on its own.
Did they ever say anything about why they just abandoned it up to the point or when he passed in 1948? Did any of the family ever speak about what the thought process was of why it sat there for so long?
Not that I know of. If they did, I've never been able to find that. And keep in mind, this was at a time, especially if you were a wealthy upper class family, you did not want to go around saying you abandoned your home because it was haunted.
Sure.
I mean, that would do damage to your reputation back then. Even though people had an open mind back then, the spiritualist movement was still fresh in everybody's memories, but it still would not serve them well to say that they got scared out of their vacation home. So I don't know what they did, if they told the family tale. Maybe it was passed from one generation to the next as a family secret, but it certainly wasn't made public, which was common for that time for families to keep their secrets secret.
What occurred then when it finally was sold, because he had passed in 1948? Tell me about the new family who bought the property, and what did they do with it?
Yeah, the Kiefer family bought the property, and they had grand plans like everybody who buys the property does. They wanted to open it as a resort, a B&B, a place you could come and enjoy the beauty. They were enticed by the beauty of this area.
I hope you enjoyed your 15-minute preview of our new podcast, The Grave Talks. Be sure to subscribe to it on Apple Podcasts or wherever you download podcasts to not miss any episode of the show. New episodes every single Monday. Just search for The Grave Talks and then press subscribe. Give us a review while you're at it and some stars that will help us grow in the rankings and let other folks know that the show exists to make an even better show for you. The Grave Talks. Check it out at thegravetalks.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.